Just like that, our 10 days are over, boys. Woo. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Andrew Dutch Holland, and Jen Rolnick here for the next 2 hours. Welcome in to our first 2024 Leaf Edition Hour.
Lots to talk about. By the way, shocked there's no Brandeo here. Derek has 4 children. I would be crawling out of my home to get to work no matter the circumstances after 10 days off.
He texted me this morning, and I believe it's one of his kids' 13th birthday today. Haley's wow. 13th birthday.
Well, happy birthday. Teen,
so he's there you go. A good father. Yeah, after 10 days off.
I feel like I gotta go.
My gift is see you later.
Wherever you're watching or following Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus, from 4 to 6, we're glad you are along for the ride, and we are glad to be back on air. Good 10 days.
Yeah.
Nobody got hurt. Everybody's nope. happy.
Really good. Pinnacle for us. We went to Long Island and skated at the Clark Gillies Arena in Dix Hills, and all 8 of his grandkids got out there and wore sweaters. The boys had a little shinny game. Our You're wives took pictures.
Are you still really good at hockey?
What's that?
Are you still really good at hockey?
No. Okay. that has diminished significantly.
Did you get ice time in?
Me? No. I did not skate. Went to the Attack game.
Oh, okay.
Unknown Sound, yeah. Nice. Went on local access television with my boy Mark McKelvey.
Did you?
I did.
Nice.
I did. Did a little interview in the intermission, yeah.
Broadcasting chop
yeah,
sharp.
I did. That was my working over
nice.
There. I did 5
nice.
Minutes with Mark. But
nice.
Yeah.
And what about you? What'd you get up to?
A little Prince Edward County.
Ooh.
My sister's got a house on the water. Ooh. Got all the families together.
Nice.
A lot of mayhem.
And once you're there, you don't have
sugar.
To go anywhere. You're just there. Right?
Yeah, it was really nice.
That's awesome.
Really nice.
Can't believe we're back, quite honestly. Like, I'm sitting here
I'm
like,
ready to, though. Like, yeah? The Leafs been doing stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
We also had an interesting show during the break.
We sure did.
Justin and I, along with David Amber and Elliot Friedman, did the Columbus Leaf regional game, which turned into quite the event, and the domino effect of that game has led us to probably our number one story, and for many Leaf fans, the number one story is Ilya Samsonov.
Yeah.
Waived by the Toronto Maple Leafs over the break and is now, I guess, down with the Marlies. But is he really down with the Marlies? Sammy, what do we know about that?
We might as well just let the Kippers Clippers. I'm not going to throw the first one of 2024 here, but the first clip from Brad Treliving, who spoke. So I think that tells you a lot of what they think of this situation.
Yeah.
That the general manager held a impromptu press conference. Yeah. And he spoke about it. He gave an update about what's going on with him. So if we want to play the first Treliving clip there, Dougie.
Of 2024.
Here we go.
Obviously, we know Ilya's gone through a difficult time. And so when you go through this, you kind of look at a couple of options, right? You either keep doing what you're doing, which is an option, and try to work through it, or you do something different. And you know, this plan that we looked at it, and I felt strongly that we had to do something different to help Ilya. Right? So the plan was to, obviously, in order to execute this and create the roster spot, we needed to put him on waivers. But we're going to take this week to try to use as a reset. So Ilya's not, he's been assigned to the Marlies. He's not practicing at this stage, and is not planning to play with the Marlies at this stage. But we're using this week to get him some one-on-one time. And he'll be working with Hannu, Toivonen back in Toronto, our development team, our performance team off the ice. And really, it's a physical and a mental reset.
Nothing says physical and mental reset like a development team of people staring at you going, get better, fix it.
So no Marlins.
Here it is. No real Marlins
yeah,
time.
I don't know how I feel about that. And it could be fine. Like, I'm just guessing. It could be exactly what he needs, or it may not be enough.
I do think it's good that he's not playing games. I think if you put him in games, you run the risk of him being Jack Campbell. You know, it's the American League. There's different quality shooters. You go in and there's, you know, 5 go in one night and you look bad and it just gets worse. You know, like, you can't.
See, I don't buy that.
Why not?
I don't buy that because you are in a defensive mode here. You're in a you're in a what can go wrong mode.
I sure am.
Well, what's giving you the feeling that it's going to go the other way?
Correct. So you bring him back up and it continues to be bad. Like yeah. if he is going to continue to stink, I want it in the Marlies. I don't want it back with Toronto.
Yeah.
And the Maple Leafs.
I think, though, you know, he makes $3.3 million for the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. And I imagine whatever deal they cook up to replace him this year, which it now feels like is going to happen at some point, they're going to want him to go the other way. And I don't think it helps if he plays six games for the Marlies with an .838 save percentage.
But what happens if he plays six games for the Marlies and he goes 5-1 and it's .920?
Yeah, no, I mean, maybe he goes from the compensation you have to send with him is less, I guess. I get your point that right now no one thinks too highly of him, but like, at least you haven't made him an AHL goalie yet.
If you know, he's had time off already. He's had one-on-one time already.
Lots.
The only difference is now he's doing it at the Marley Arena and he's been waived.
Yeah.
So other than that, what has really changed from day one?
Yeah, it's legitimately no different, right? Like they share the Ford Performance Center. It's a different pad of ice that maybe he's on, but his salary's the same. The people are the same.
It could work.
Sure it could.
It could be...
the randomness could play in their favor too.
Kelly Rudy went on Hockey Night in Canada this past Saturday and suggested that he goes away for a week to Florida. And my first thought watching that was, I stunk when I played. I was a healthy scratch. Where was my trip to Disneyland?
I know.
Where was the team to tell me that, you know, go down and lie on the beach for a while, get away from it all and come back?
But
you'll be better.
In defense of Kelly, that might be a more different thing than what he's about to do now.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally agree with you. Like, why don't you take him down to Florida and rent a sheet of ice?
This is, we're at the tin cup part of this where you put the T's in your left pocket when you got the shanks. We're just going, I don't know. What if he hangs upside down and eats brownies? You know, is this like they're out of ideas here? They can't use him, guys. He has been so bad for them this season on a one-year deal. He has no value as an asset, you don't trust. Even if he comes back and plays good, you're going to put him in the playoffs? It's been too much bad.
Okay, let's go to Tree Living on Samsonov's timeline because, again, this plays a key part on what changes.
Sure.
Let's have a listen.
Well, the week is really because we're gone, right? So once we get back in, we monitor daily, see where he's at. But this isn't something where you're saying, okay, you know, we'll scramble together on Wednesday and say, how did everything go today? Right. This allows him to breathe a little bit for the week. Get him out of the environment that he was in, where sometimes you're just going around on the Ferris wheel here, and just let him refocus, reset, and then when we get back, we'll see where we're at.
So this has everything.
They have no idea.
This has everything to do with the belief that he's a very good goalie. It's just all in his head right now.
I don't know if they believe it, but what choice do they
have? That's 100% that they just clear his head, get away from it. So it's the pressure of just being day to day around the team. This alleviates the pressure so you can clear your mind and then just come back and be the goalie that you were before.
I think if they believed he was a very good goalie, they would have given him more than 1 year and gone to arbitration with him and all that. I think the suggestion that what you're talking about is like, if he is a good goalie, that could help, right? That's one of the things that if he is in fact a good goalie, this could help him. You know, do they believe that? I'm skeptical. I mean, that arbitration they went through, you know, where they basically, you know, you're not kind to people and you're skeptical of them. Like, some of that has to be real. I think this just confirmed.
I've been through an arbitration. They tell you why they don't want to pay you.
Right.
And, okay.
Because of the skepticism.
Hundreds of guys have gone through it.
I'm just saying that they went through that because they clearly didn't fully believe in this guy. And it feels to me like they must not believe at all anymore. And what else do you do while you try to figure out plan B? You got to buy time here. And now we get the Hildebeest.
So let me ask you this, though. Even if he comes back up, how, and you guys have both played high-level hockey, NHL, how many good starts in a row? Or how? What's the point of them trusting him again? Because every single guy in that team, like, that's the number one thing they talk about. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're getting him away from this environment is probably the whole team is not a huge fan of what's going on with him and them losing these games because of him and him having the worst. Is it the worst qualified save percentage in the league or second worst?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Like, how good does he have to be to win back your team's trust?
I don't know if there's enough time.
I agree. I totally agree. It's January. The March trade deadline is 2 months away. That's 8 weeks. Maybe it's 9 weeks, whatever it is. You know, well, you're right. So if he plays, he's gone for a week and then he comes up and splits starts with someone, he's only going to get 10 starts or something in the best case scenario. They're finding a solution. And I don't know that they intend for Hill to be a solution, but what else are they going to do right
now? What can you see in drills that will make you feel a lot better that he will start, his next start will be with the Toronto Maple Leafs? What do you, like, how good of a practice player do you need to be?
I hate when you convince
me. You've got goaltenders, goalie coaches shooting pucks at you stationary, or you have some movement, and I guarantee you, whoever is that
is helping
coach
him save it.
Isn't Mitch Marner or Kucherov or some of the best players on the planet recreating those types of scenarios? What drills do you think that you can come up with that will replicate anything against the best players in the world?
Do you think it makes me a good or a bad radio host that you so quickly convinced me that you're right? Dude, there's nothing. You would have to play. I was going to be like, well, you have to play in a game, Nick.
And that's not even against the best players with the Marlies.
No.
Like, I need him
to play
against real competition and create real game situations.
Yeah.
There's just not a practice world my world that exists that can tell you that was all in his head, because the Samsonov that we've watched to get to this point isn't between the ears. Buddy, you don't track the puck. You don't see the puck.
You slide too far.
You overcommit. Okay? You're not seeing the puck right now.
It's almost trying too hard, you know, watching the games. You know, I guess their case would be like, you know, have you ever looked at a problem for 3 hours and you can't figure it out and you step away and you come back and you're like, oh, okay, like I got it. Like, I guess the idea is if he's playing, does that really allow him to step away, the mental freshness?
At least with Brett Tree Living, I hear is like, we're just going to go day to day here. I hope that he practices so well that they would feel comfortable to say, give him one game with the Marlies before we bring him back.
You look at the Leafs schedule here. It looks like this is a move to buy themselves a little time, because they play the Kings tonight, obviously a really good team. You have Martin Jones
is getting it regardless.
And we can listen to Keefe talking about tomorrow night's plan with the Ducks. But then you have a few days off. You got the Sharks. You come home again. You got the Sharks.
It's Ducks, like, Sharks. You're looking at 30,
this
32,
to me is them being
ranks.
Like, we're sending it. Well, he's going home. We're out here. We'll figure this out when we get home.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when you're leaving in a rush and you leave the dishes on there, you're like, I'll do that
That's
when I get home.
That's future me's problem.
I'll get that one done when I get there.
He's the dishes right now.
Like, and make no mistake, I'm not writing off Samsonov. I'm not.
As a career.
Yes, or as a goalie to come back with the Leafs.
Mm. And I am.
And it's,
I am.
Are you?
Yeah.
And this is where I go.
Yeah.
JB, you're probably right.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to do that just yet. And I think first week in January is enough time for the Leafs to say, let's find a different approach to get this guy's game going again. I think there is enough time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just, You're probably right.
You know, like they just had this stretch of hockey where they were pretty good. You know, in some of the games they went like 1-4-1 in their last six or something. His save percentage was like .850. Like he buried them. That Columbus game was atrocious.
How many games are we into the season? 34 for the Leafs?
Yeah, at least.
That's
34. Yeah.
Okay, that's lots of time here.
No, I know there's lots of time, but the trade deadline's the real deadline, not game 82.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But between now and what, March? Second week of March, third week of March of a trade deadline, like you don't have to make a major decision on your goaltending. Hillaby was always about just buying you a week, 10 days.
We have Tree Living on looking for outside help. Let's start there. Next.
Good segue.
Jonas, we always look at everything, right? You know, so this has created a situation where we think we got a good goalie. He's shown he's been a good goalie. How do we help him get back to that form? In the meantime, the manager always has to do his job of continuing to look at ways to improve the team, right? Now, having said that, I checked outside. The goaltender tree was empty. I couldn't pick one off there today. So we'll see with a little bit of sun, maybe they grow a few more. But we know we've got guys who have shown to be good goaltenders in this league. We've got... we're working with Ilya to get back to that form. You know, Joe's had a great start to the season. We're working with him to get him healthy, and Martin's had a good career. So our depth's being tested in that position. We're going to work and try to make the guys we've got as good as they can be, and we always look to see if there's areas that can help us outside.
All right.
Oh.
Kept it a little light for you there, Sammy.
Sam hated that joke.
Oh, my God. Carlin over here. Holy smokes. When's Tree's appointment at Yuck Yucks? God.
All right, so there's no one. It's just a terrible, goaltender Tree.
Terrible joke.
Well, listen.
The media down there loved it.
It gets... it'll remain okay if Martin Jones has a good game tonight. And these guys can buy... Tree time.
Yeah, I mean, but I think at some point you love Martin Jones, and I think what he's given the Leafs here has been incredibly important. Just a steadying veteran, but like we've seen his numbers for the last 5 years. Like I think we kind of know where this is headed. I don't think your plan should be, we'll ride Martin Jones for a long time here. Like you have some soft competition coming up, like I mentioned, but this is within the next couple weeks here. You got to figure this out.
I do agree though that like first of all there's nowhere to go outside. There's no one right now that you could look at and definitively say that that's worth changing the makeup of my goaltending depth tomorrow.
I want Kevin Lankinen. That's my guy. I decided that that's the guy I want.
You do, right?
Yeah. You know, you're just taking...
Where is he? Nashville?
Yeah, you're just taking shots on guys, right? And I don't know, he's 28 years old. He's had some success in the league. He's been a backup. He's a 900 right now, but he's a 916 last year for Nashville. He had a couple years at 909. Like he's
And he's at a million?
He's cheap. See if I can find it. He makes two.
Too expensive.
Well, unless
no,
you get,
too expensive.
Yeah, but they could retain on that. He's not.
Oh, gosh. Now you got to give up an asset. No, they're not really. They're not going to do that. And then if you do it, that means that you've written off Samsonov.
Yeah,
and that they're not ready to do that.
Yeah,
and I'm not convinced that that guy would be any better.
No, I'm not either. Samsonov. By the way, but to me, it's just if you're going to pick the lottery ticket, he's a good one.
Yeah, you're making a change for the sake of making a change.
Yes, for sure. So they bring in Dennis Hildeby, the Hildeby beast, who
can't be any worse.
No, can't be. I mean, right? can't be.
At the end of the day, I'm sorry, but that's, you know, and I know Elliot talked about, you know, protecting his future and all of that, but come on. You're not going to ruin the guy. Even if he gets lit up, you're not ruining the guy.
Thank you. I keep hearing this. What?
That's just such a funny. The state of 2024 Toronto Maple Leafs goaltending. It can't be any worse.
Can't be any worse.
And, you know, I hear this all the time where, like, and when I was with the Marlies, they didn't want to yo-yo guys. They were like, we'll call him up when he's ready to be up. And that's fine for a player. Like, I know some people didn't love Nick Robertson, up, down, whatever. But that's not how it always works. The circumstances don't let you just cook something in the oven until it's ready. Then it's, you know, meal time and everyone. It's just sometimes in hockey, you got to be ready a little bit before you thought you were. You might have to go back down, whatever. My example here is Eric Schalgren. You know, Schalgren was here for the Leafs. not a great NHL goaltender. He came up and over 2 years he played, he started 22 games. They lost six of them in regulation. He was like a 900 or 898 save percentage in the NHL. You know, since then he's an 850 in the AHL. Not a very good goalie at that level. He's fine. Whatever. But they, again, they didn't get killed when he was up. Hildeby can come up.
No.
And they can win with this guy in net. He's a pro goalie.
When what I've been able to kind of know from my experience of playing over 100 games in the American Hockey League to the NHL and then watching it as a broadcaster is like the difference.
Margins are tight.
They're tight with goalies.
Yeah.
And they're all good at the American Hockey League. They're good goaltenders.
Especially when you're huge.
They're the best of what's outside of the NHL.
It's not like there's this cutoff at 62 goalies and the 63rd stinks.
So what is the difference between them playing in the American Hockey League and the NHL? It's just a level of consistency. No different than your 100th ranked golfer to your top 15.
100th ranked golfer can shoot 65 some days. Can't do it as often.
And that's all you're looking at.
Go shoot 73. You asked us.
And we've seen some of the goalies over the past from the Leafs come up and have success. You mentioned one earlier before the show. Sjogren.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know where he... Where is he? New Jersey?
He's in Utica.
Utica with an 8.53 save percentage.
In the American League.
So he's no good down there. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. And he was fine for the Leafs.
And he was fine. He came up with some decent efforts.
Hildeby's been 919 in the AHL. He's not going to be a joke.
And he's not going to get lit up like a Christmas tree This is embarrassing. No, he's not going to embarrass himself.
He's not.
And the Leafs won't...
And were it to happen, he wouldn't die.
They wouldn't They wouldn't embarrass him like that.
No, you're saying if it was going wrong, they'd pull him out.
Well, yeah. And the team's still too good.
Yeah, they're going to protect him as best they can.
Really embarrass him or the whole organization.
And for the record,
he'll be fine.
Samsonov was well protected against Columbus. The Leafs gave up 4 or 5 shots in the first period. They gave up 22 over the whole game, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that. They protected the hell out of him, and it wasn't enough. So, he'll be fine for a couple nights.
Do you want to hear the plan for the goaltending this week?
Yeah.
From the head coach now? From the general manager to the head coach? Keith Klipp, too.
Plan is just take each day as it comes here and try to get them up to speed at the NHL level. Obviously, NHL shooters and such are, it's a different animal, as he may have learned when Austin came down and blew one by him there in one of the first drills. I think just you want to get comfortable, which is what I saw as this, the more and more the skate went on, you could really see, that he was getting comfortable in his reads. And obviously the size, a lot of pucks just hit him because of the size. But plan is just to get him comfortable here. And, my message to him is he's here. He's the second guy right now. And like you would have the message for any guy that's the second guy, is your job's to be ready for any opportunity that might come up or anytime we may need you. As we look at our week and in particular this back-to-back that's coming, we haven't ruled out utilizing Jones in both those games. I think as far as
so thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto plays LA tonight. We'll be on the panel tonight with Elliot Friedman and David Amber tonight at 10:30. You're going to be up.
But I didn't make it to midnight on New Year's Eve. We're going to be up till 1 o'clock
We are.
I'm doing Leafs Talk with Ailish tonight, too. They're going to be a sleepy crew tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
I'll be up with my kids at 6. Should be fun.
Tomorrow night, Toronto faces Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Saturday night, they face San Jose. Is there a world you see where Hildeby does not get one start in the next three? I'll start with you, JB.
There's a world where I could see it, where they just really decide that this guy's not ready, which to me would be a bit of an indictment. If you don't feel like you can put him in against the San Jose Sharks on a back-to-back, or sorry, the Anaheim Ducks on a back-to-back, I mean, good Lord, get him in there.
I think if he's going to start, it'll be the back-to-back, because they're going to put Jones in where he played, right? He played for the Sharks forever.
Yeah.
He'll probably play there. But they did this last year. Remember? With Samsonov, they played him back-to-back when Keith Petruzzelli was the backup.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
Yeah, like they had Petrozelli, and everyone's like, oh, you got to start Petrozelli in the second half of the back-to-back, and they went with Samsonov in both.
Mm-hmm.
So they are familiar with doing this. I can't remember what part of the season that was last year, but they had some real goalie stuff. I bet you that they do Jones in both.
Jones is 33, though. Like, Sammy was 25.
Yeah. I see Hildeby all night long tomorrow night in Anaheim. Yeah.
Okay.
What are they, 13-23, one of the worst teams, worst records. They stink.
It's a perfect scenario. Stuff one on you.
It would help a lot if it was coming off a pretty convincing win against L.A. tonight, and that could help them make the decision a lot easier if they knew that the team was kind of back on board. They shut down key guys tonight, and the team's feeling good going into Anaheim. If you want to see how much time that you really have for Samsonov, it would really help if you knew what you had with Hillaby a little bit with a small sample size tomorrow night.
Yeah, but like there's just no world where this is a year where Hildeby is a meaningful contributor come playoffs. Like people being like, I just want a steady backup. Let's see if this guy can do it. That's not this.
Yeah.
He's not going to be great for him to get some games and see what he can do and maybe bide them some time. But, you know, does this team have cup aspirations? I would say yes.
They would.
Do you want to be Joseph Woll and Hildeby as your duo? I would say
No. That's not what the tomorrow night's all about.
Exactly my point.
Tomorrow night's about
get us through, see what we got.
Samsonov has a mediocre week in your eyes. Maybe it's just a little bit longer.
Yeah. You know what? To your point about getting him back in and whatever, there's a much bigger chance that Samsonov is on this team in 2 months than Hildeby still in the net in terms of, you know, playing towards playoffs.
Yeah, and I think because Hildeby is like a prospect, and, you know, this team doesn't have a ton of prospects, people are really excited about him.
Yeah.
And like, oh, this could be the future. This is more of an emergency call-up than anything.
Yeah.
Like this, you think of this more as like a Petrozelli-type call-up where they just need a body on the bench.
Yep. And you look at the goaltenders, like when their prime is, I would argue, is different than skaters, and I would say it's a little bit older. You know, like, I don't know it's Connor Hellebuck now, pushing 30. Like, some of the best guys in the league are that age, figuring out the position, so this kid can be okay for 5 years and still be a prospect.
I got a question for you just about that Keith clip we listened to. I just got a DM about it. I'm interested to get your take about him mentioning that Matthews went bar down on him in practice.
Well, it's been mentioned a couple places I've seen it.
You think that's weird that he would say that?
It must have been like a ripper or something. Hildeby commented on it in his interview, too. It was just like, as you saw in like the first drill, like, you know, it takes a little... Shooters are different.
I would have gone a different approach, to be honest with you.
Really?
I think it's an honor, though, right?
I wouldn't have made it
a talking point.
I don't think you necessarily need to
obvious.
Say that. Yeah.
Let everybody else discuss it. I don't want to bring that energy in.
Yeah.
That you're not used to these type of shots.
The one thing I did say, or did
it's
read
fine.
About
it's a throwaway
it.
Comment.
It's the thing.
It's
like,
not a big deal.
He sounds like a guy who's pretty. Whatever. Like, he sounds a bit like Joe Woll. Like, he doesn't get too fazed by things. So you need guys like that. The Toronto market requires a slightly different temperament and stuff like that. Just can't bother you.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the start of
he's literally
that.
The best shooter on earth.
Yeah.
There's not many guys, I guess, Bedard shoots it like Matthews a bit. Like, who shoots it like Matthews? No one.
Yeah. Guys like pass to hit one-timers. Yeah.
Let's get to Sheldon Keefe. We haven't played this one. Have we clip six on Martin Jones? Because this, to me, is a huge start for Martin Jones and can really dictate the temperature that the goaltending scenario will hit.
But if he stinks,
save that comment. Okay. Let's listen to Sheldon on clip six on Martin Jones.
Yeah, obviously huge to have him, you know, to have him here and how he's played for us. You know, you'll look at it and I think, you know, coming into today's practice, we basically had, you know, probably certainly goalie three and Marty Jones and probably goalie five in Hildeby, who was, you know, when we come into training camp, you know, you had Petrozelli was getting a little more time than Hildeby, and you thought he was going to take the year to be a developmental year for him. Now you got those two guys here and you're counting on them, but to have someone with Jones' experience in the league, to just be calm and and confident has really helped our team. Going into familiar buildings, as you mentioned, I hadn't thought of that a great deal, but I think that's, again, just the value of having the experience.
Boys, fifth goaltender got called up in the depth chart.
I heard a coach protecting himself there.
Like, fifth.
Yeah.
The next guy's the E-Bug.
Where's Airzy at? Call up Airzy.
I honestly heard a coach being like, you can't put me on the hook for this. We're at 3-5 here. This is
like Martin Jones cannot have a bad game here tonight.
But he could.
Oh, he could.
But he can't.
I get your point. Yes.
He can't.
Yes.
Because he could, you know this town.
Been around it a minute now, yeah.
I disagree with that. I think he's got a little bit of runway here. People understand what this is. People aren't going to be like, oh, Martin Jones, he stunk. Like, it's like, yeah, you kind of expect it. No, he was their third guy who was playing for the Marlies for a quarter of the season.
It's not the conclusion that, you know, you're talking about that he stunk. It's the where do they go from here that follows it,
Sammy. Oh, for sure, that. But I don't think people are going to kill Jones.
Well, it's,
no,
you know,
Jones, what I mean?
It's not about Jones. It's about the Leafs.
Yes.
And
where are they if this guy gets lit up?
And all the, you know, I would say a week or two ago, the Leafs were 4 points behind Boston. And it was kind of like, okay, this is like they could, you know, contend for the, they're 9 back now.
Yeah, happened fast.
Just a blink. They're 9 back. And Florida's pulling away. Florida's now 5 ahead, a couple games there. But, you know, Tampa's tied in points. All of a sudden is my point. It's like, okay, Jones, if he's not very good, we can't keep giving away points.
No.
Like this, these are, it's crucial to keep picking up points along the way, and they're starting to scuffle.
And all of a sudden,
how big, quick do you have to like do something if that happens
tonight?
And you're still 4 or 5 weeks away from Joseph Woll coming back.
And however long Samsonov's recovery takes.
Mm. Now, you know,
how quick do you have to act?
If Martin Jones doesn't, he's the key in all of this in terms of truly buying you time. But if he doesn't, then you got to go to the goalie tree.
God.
And just pick off an unripe bud of a goalie and throw him in there.
Well, maybe Soros could grow on that tree.
Like but it does change then what you do with your assets.
Yeah.
And how you spend and try to improve.
If you want to get to the trade deadline to,
without having
and
spent
listen,
on a goalie.
Even if Joseph Woll comes back in 4 weeks and he's still looking great,
can't depend on it.
Are you trusting Joseph Woll now to be the guy?
I trust him technically more than I do health wise.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to make that very point. I don't think he can play. It's that I don't know if he can be available.
And at the end of the day, they're kind of equal, right? Because whether or not he's no good or he's good, if he gets hurt, if you're worrying about him getting hurt as much as you are potentially him not playing well, then at the end of the day, you don't have him either way.
Isn't it stunning how many teams are having this conversation, though? Like, we, during our last show, we had one of the burning questions was, what team do you think most needs a goalie? And it was like Buffalo, New Jersey, Carolina. The choices were, like, around the league, it was, I mean, a lot of teams are struggling to find one guy right now, which you would think would help.
Kochetkov looked pretty good on Saturday night for Carolina, but
and they're nervous with him.
Oh, Kochetkov? For sure,
yeah.
They're such a good team. Like Carolina is a excellent
and I think
hockey.
They're like second last in team save percentage this year, and it's killed them. They're starting to get good goaltending, and they're starting to win.
It's just, you know, quickly before we go to break.
God, we're humming along.
Yeah, we got to go. Jeez. I'm just so sick of the Leafs wasting these points against bad teams because it's the difference. Like, think about, you know, they lose 9-3 to before the break. They lose 9-3 to Buffalo. They lose to Ottawa. They lose to the Columbus. And I guess a lot of that has to do with goaltending, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's like this, just how many years has this been this? It's every year of the Matthews era. It's the same still. Well, not every year, but the last 4 years for sure. Them wasting points against these bad teams. And it costs them. And that's why they have to play these juggernauts in the first round.
The Leafs against the bottom 7 teams in the NHL, and this was part of our broadcast that we did the other night,
are
3-6-2, if I'm not mistaken, below a .400 winning percentage.
It's an infuriating trend.
Which is 30th in the league, around Chicago, Ottawa, San Jose, or the teams around them there. If you just take care of the business a little bit.
It's infuriating. And now you're going to have to play the Florida Panthers in the first round, or the, you know, if you have to fall down to a wild card and you play the Rangers, or like, ugh,
it's not great.
Win the division for once.
Boys, that's 35 minutes just talking about the goalies.
Nine other topics to get to.
35 minutes. Well, going to break.
There's lots to say.
Can we please discuss facing the Kings tonight outside of the net after
they
the break?
They scratched David Camp and then gave up two shorties the same night and lost.
There's the next 35 minutes gone now. All right, then more, we promise, on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. The Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McGee. Hope everybody had a happy new year.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I did? Nothing.
I was talking to the listeners and
not
viewers,
Sam and
not
I.
You guys.
Oh. I did nothing for the first time in a long time. It was excellent. Cooked a ribeye in bed by 12:30.
Yeah, we made a three-layer dip and watched.
Are you one of those New Year's Eve for amateurs?
Well, as a former drinker, that was certainly a stance of mine, and now it's for people younger than me. I'm just an old.
Yeah. Felt it this year.
Before we get into the Leafs versus the Kings, there's lots of talk about William Nylander.
Ooh.
And
what kind of talk?
Well, just
words.
It's trending closer to the Leafs and Willie getting a deal done is what I hear.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I've heard similar.
And the general feeling amongst, I think, both sides is they'd like to get it done before the NHL All-Star weekend.
So that is February 3rd. That is 1 month from now.
The other belief is that it will be a number that is over 11. So
that's good.
11.25 is the one that is probably mentioned the most.
Mm-hmm.
Times 8.
Yeah.
You okay?
If I may, this gentleman that we are discussing right now is
really good.
He's fifth in the NHL in scoring, tied with Connor McDavid. I mean, David Pastrnak is 2 points more than him right now. It's tough to...
So that would put him right with Pastrnak, correct?
Yeah. What's Pastr?
11.25, I think.
Is it exactly?
I don't know. Can you...
I can make that happen.
The question I have for you, Kipper.
The only one is Panarin, I think, at 11.6 on an AAV.
Yeah. Would you say that he took a discount like he did with... Pastrnak, if Willie says.
No, Pasta is 11.25.
11.25, yeah. I think there's an argument to be made that that's the number, and either you like it or you don't.
You know, at some point when you have negotiations about value, you can't argue with the numbers. Like, he produces at the same rate as some of the great, you know, the best players in the league.
The other thing you got to consider, Sammy, is that when the Leafs can front load this and turn it into a $12 or $13 million upfront signing bonus, it's worth more, a heck of a lot more than 11.25. It creates greater value in real money.
For sure it does, but it also helps the Leafs down the road. If you don't like the back end of the deal, the real money owed is so much less.
Absolutely. And in 4 or 5 years, if the cap's up towards north of $100 million, 11.25 for a 40 goal score, 100 point guy is not crazy here.
And I do think the way that Willie skates and shoots the puck, that he's got a lot of good years left. I don't think, you know, another 5 years as a top contributor.
I don't think a lot of people can make an argument that this is crazy.
No. I guess the only thing you would do is you would hold up other players who have signed, you know, in the, is it, which Carolina guy? Is it Aho or one of them signed for 9.5, I think. Yeah. You know, there's some guys.
Which is
one,
such
Kachuk
a good deal.
Took the 9.5 in Florida, who, you know, he was a Hart Trophy guy. You know,
and Aho is so good.
Yeah, and this is what you would do as the team. You'd say, what about these guys?
And they'd
say, what about
those guys? They've tried that.
Yeah.
They've tried that. And it's...
The team goes, what about these guys? And they say, okay, we'll just leave then. Like,
bye-bye.
Okay, we'll just wait.
Yeah.
we'll just wait.
And see if I get more than 9.5.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, yeah, you definitely will.
He really wants to stay.
Loves Toronto.
And if you also value that, you know, even Panarin had to leave Columbus.
To get the money.
To get 11.6. But that was over 7 years. Willie would get the 8th year at over $11 million. I mean, how do you say no to over $90 million?
Yeah. And, you know, another one in Willie's corner is that he's a pretty unflappable guy. You know, he knows this market well. This market has done all they could beat him down, trade him. And he's just like, I'm just going to keep shooting in the net.
I think.
Call me when you want to pay me.
I would be really scared of that number that you brought up if last year didn't happen.
In playoffs?
No, just in general. Because he was 40 goals last year, and like that's the type of year that you would expect him to have in a contract. Like, I don't think he's what he's right now. Like, I really do think that the contract year is a bit of a thing.
He's on pace for 117 points.
Which and his highest was 87 before that, which it's a massive number. But even if he regresses a little bit and with the cap going up, he's probably going to be worth that. Like, it's visually, and it's going to look scary.
Yeah. Do you have to, can you do Tavares next year as well? Can you have all these guys making that much money for 1 year? Is it doable? Reminds me of Minnesota's cap situation where it's like you're really handcuffed, but then it'll be good after that.
Except they have
it's going to be hard.
That's much different.
It's going to be hard because you got to also factor in that you have all these expiring contracts, which help, but you have to replace them.
Yes.
And the question is, can you, Max Domi, I know the goals haven't been there, but he's played very well lately. Mm-hmm. And he is on pace for, 50 points?
He is now, in terms of their leading scorers, there's the big four guys, Morgan Riley, fifth forward's Max. 21 points last I checked, which was this morning.
Okay, so if Max ends up with 50 points, that's could be worth more than $3 million somewhere else, and maybe he takes less to stay. But you're still going to have to replace those dollars.
Bertuzzi?
Well, this Bertuzzi thing's becoming an issue, Kip. $5.5 million. I know I went on air and talked about how, his underlying numbers are really good. He doesn't have any points, Kip. He's played with the best players in the league for most of the season. And what was he, 14 points, 6 goals and 14 points in 34 games for $5.5 million? That's great. He's driving play. But at some point, you'd like him to tip on the net or run someone over.
Drive the puck into the net, potentially.
It's really strange that when you consider that you're playing with proven point producers.
Bunting, 56 points in that spot.
Yeah. Okay, give me somebody else, though.
What's that?
Over the last 3 years?
I mean, that's played in that spot. It's been a revolving door.
I know, but
Zach Hyman was...
Bunting's the only one.
Well, Hyman did pretty well.
They weren't thrilled with Bunting. You know, people got to realize that one of the major reasons why is that, I don't think Matthews was thrilled with playing with Hyman back then.
Is that right? I don't know. So what's your point, though?
My point is that no one seems to be able to produce points.
Mm-hmm.
And other than Bunting.
Yeah.
Really.
I just, Kip, you look at the group people who have been in that spot. Tyler Bertuzzi is the first one who didn't work. Bunting, way above his career numbers in that spot. Like, way above, right? For what he'd ever done as a 26 or 27-year-old. Who else went there? Cal Yarncroc went there and shot it in the net more than he used to. Who else played
Thornton,
that spot?
Thornton, Marlowe, Richie.
Richie's in Finland and suspended. Thornton and Marlowe retired. Not an NHLer. They haven't had guys there in that spot.
Malkin. Oh, my God.
That video
of Richie was... that was
what's he doing?
It was a little squirrely.
Think about Marner and Nylander. Averaging 95, 105 points without a left winger. Can you imagine now, past if you took Marchand away from Pasternak, and I know they've been off but over the course of all these years, like, can you imagine if those guys had a real producing left winger, what those numbers could have been like the last few years?
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think of lines like that. And like, so Crosby had Kunitz. Was Kunitz a guy like that? That kind of
He made Kunitz.
You know, plugged him in and he just worked
Pascal
for whatever reason.
Pascal worked really well with Sid for a while.
Yeah.
Now Gensel and him are just like...
Right.
On
but these
fire.
Are duos. Like the only real, like, it's tough to have a three person line. Obviously, when Bergeron was there with Marchand and Pasternak, that's like
the perfection line.
It's just, it's really strange to me that Bertuzzi, with his eyes closed, can't get 55 points.
Could not agree more.
It's just strange.
Stand around the net, tips him in.
No, but he's tried that. And it's just, he has been around the net. It's
so
just,
what is the issue,
do you
think?
I don't know.
I feel like you're not telling me what
you
really think.
No. Trust me, if I had an answer, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seems like seems to be around the net. I don't know whether or not it's enough or it's too much or they need him making more plays outside of that 6-foot radius in front of the net.
I think if we didn't know
Bunting handled the puck. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, no.
Bunting handled the puck a lot more outside of that area.
I can't Bertuzzi remember him having it. When does he ever have the puck? He never has it. He makes little touch plays here and there, but he never has it.
He doesn't carry it.
No. I think if you could go back to my dad's era where you didn't know what people made and you just looked at the players on the roster, Bertuzzi long ago in this group, you would have said, take some run on the third line. Like, we're going to play Max on the left wing. He seems to be able to handle it and make some plays with these guys. Like, it feels to me like he's where he is because they've paid him and they want to give him the chance to make them look right about him.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
And it hasn't looked right.
I would like to see Max in the top six a little bit.
I'm
here
ready.
And there.
I have greatly warmed to Domi.
Not all the time, but... few shifts.
Listen, there's
here and there.
Times when he turns the puck over.
For sure.
But
he's got the skill to play with those guys.
That's his mind is thinking about making these plays that other players won't make.
Yeah.
And he's got to find that fine balance of holding on to the puck or putting it in a safe position other than a high risk position. And you hope that, that's the next focus in the next 40 plus games.
Well, the way I think of him now is that he's a guy that when you're coaching, you play situationally. Like if you're up, I'd rather see more David Kampf, and we can get to that in a minute, but I'd rather see more Kampf, who played 3C for them quite a bit.
We're running out of time here. Yeah. You okay with David Kampf being benched? And was it his wife who sent out the consecutive game streak of 5 years? Okay, did we even know about that?
Yeah, we're not.
By the way,
you're not Patrick Marleau.
At 323 games or whatever the thing was.
It's the NHL.
Yeah, we expect you to play. That's great.
But I do think it was stupid to bench
you
him.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, he's your best penalty killer.
Yeah,
and you don't have anyone else that kills penalties, and you gave up two power play goals to a really good power play.
If you can't bench David Kampf, who can you bench?
They're the best power play in the league for a month, Carolina. And you're taking out your best penalty killer going in. That's a stupid decision.
This is hypocritical.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it's not.
It is. Because all the time we talk about holding people accountable on this team, and how the team doesn't do it enough.
David Kampf turned one over. Oh, my. Like, bench someone else.
Is he even good?
Okay. It's a big message for me. He's probably...
He's one of the core-ish...
Core-ish bottom six guy.
Yeah. He's got a 40 deal.
What a compliment.
Outside of benching Tavares, Marner... Nylander and Matthews, that's a pretty big message.
Yeah, it is a big message. Are we not okay with a big message being sent?
Not the night before you're playing the hottest power play in the league and he's your only good penalty killer.
The problem is it's not situational. It's when you deserve it and you're not making the right decisions. And that's why everyone in my mentions says, what about Mitch Marner? You know, when's he going to be held accountable for turnovers? And that's in what
Tavares turns the puck over just as much as anybody.
Yeah.
All right. Would you ever bench your captain?
Probably not.
Who can we bench?
Not many after the big core four.
I mean, this has been a complaint. We ran out of time. This has been a complaint about Keefe this whole year from you guys.
All
of a sudden, everyone's...
We're just warming up in the year 2024. The National Show's up next on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Don't go away.